Are angels for you? Of course angels are for me, any quick Christian would say. But not so fast. Lots of people outside of Christianity believe angels are for them. Are angels for everyone? And if not, then how do you know they are for you? God's law says angels aren't for you. The doubt you have about angels, the fact that you class them with childhood tales of the tooth fairy and make-believe, the law exposes as unbelief. You're having more faith in airbags, burglar alarms, and smoke detectors than you do angels, the law says is sin. The First Alert smoke alarm company has better theology than you do. Years ago, they ran a two-page ad in Time magazine. On one page was a figurine labeled Guardian Angel. On the other was the smoke alarm labeled Assistant Guardian Angel. God's law says angels can't be for you if you don't believe in them or doubt their existence. Jesus, God the Son, believes in angels. He spoke of returning in glory with his angels. He said that angels went back and forth between heaven and earth on him. He promised that the angels of the little ones always beheld his Father's face. To believe differently than Jesus does, that's a very serious sin. Angels aren't for you, says the law of God. The law exposes as sin your thinking that you know when, where, and how angels should intervene. The high horse of pride is galloping away with you toward judgment when you think, how come the angels didn't stop this or prevent that? And your trump card always has a child on it. You know there can't be guardian angels for little ones, as Jesus says, because they would have stopped that bad thing from happening. Unbelief has many faces, and every one of them is smug. The law says angels aren't for you because you believe your struggle is against flesh and blood rather than evil angels. Could God have made it any clearer than you're wrong? Could any clearer that you're wrong than Ephesians 6? He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Weren't you listening to the Old Testament reading? The nation of Persia had its evil angel, and God's people had their good angel, and the archangel was sent to help him. Didn't you listen to the epistle reading? Didn't you hear that the devil and his angels have been thrown down to the earth? And yet you think your battles are medical, financial, and personal. You aren't even on the right battlefield. How can angels be for you? The law says all day, every day, angels aren't for you. The gospel, on the other hand, says angels are for you. 1 John says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, that is, of evil angels, of demons. Notice how submissive the Bible shows evil angels are to Jesus. They ran to him, begging not to be sent to hell by him. No evil angel could resist the power of Jesus. With a word he commanded them. With a word he rebuked them. With a word he silenced them. That, however, isn't the gospel. This is Jesus' divine power over angels. The gospel is that Jesus rescued you from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil by being handed over to the evil angels in your place. The devil and his angels had a right to your body and soul. The law of God, coupled with your sins, gave them that right. The law of God promised that anyone who sinned belonged to death, and the devil invoked that clause. The devil could accuse you day and night before God in heaven because you are indeed guilty under the law. So, what got the devil and his angels thrown out of heaven. Jesus fulfilled God's law in your place. He bore your sins in his own body. So great a burden were those sins to the man Jesus that an angel had to be sent to him in Gethsemane to strengthen him. You get what that means? God the Father sent an angel to his son so that he could fully suffer all the pain, all the shame, all the wrath your sins deserve. This is like when the warden sends, it's like the warden sending the doctor to make the condemned man healthy enough to execute. At any time, Jesus could have backed out. He said at his arrest that he had over 50,000 angels at his disposal to save him if he wanted to. He could have knocked the cup of God's wrath away from his lips, but it would have spilled all over you. And know this, if the God-man could barely drink it, you couldn't swallow a drop. But swallow all of it, he did. And the angels sat with folded wings and bowed heads as the Creator died for his creatures. And the gospel is that Jesus won the ministry of angels for sinners. Angels do not serve you because you don't sin, but because Jesus did it. They don't serve you because by being good or trying hard, you convince them to help. No, they serve you because Jesus atoned for, paid for your sins. The way heavenly angels get to earth to help you is on Jesus, says John 1. They aren't free roaming spirits doing whatever they please. They don't go at their own bidding or timing, but at Jesus. They don't go where they feel like, when they feel like it, but where Jesus and when Jesus sends them. The gospel answer to where were the angels in my hour of need is right where they were when Jesus was suffering, sighing, bleeding, and dying for your sins. As the choir sang today, ye throng to Calvary and pressed with sad desire, that awful sight to see the Lord of life expire. Even angel eyes slow tears did shed. He mourned the dead in sad surprise. If anything ever demanded the intervention of angels, it was the brutal torture and killing of God the Son. Yet the Son didn't ask for them, and the Father didn't send them. And you and I say, thanks be to God. For if the angels had intervened, there would be no hope, no forgiveness, no salvation. The fact that our rescue, the fact that our saving, the fact that our eternal joy comes from the angels not intervening, tells us that even when the angels don't intervene, our God and Savior are still at work for our good. Yes, but what about my unbelief? What about my doubts that sometimes flood my heart? What about when I pray for help, all the while thinking the angels won't be sent? The gospel says angels aren't destroyed by unbelief. They aren't Puff the Magic Dragon. They don't silently slip into the haze when little Jackie Paper doesn't believe in them anymore. Acts 12 proves this. The church was gathered around earnestly praying for the release of Peter from prison. The Lord sends an angel to work that miracle. When Peter shows up at the church's door, the members praying are told Peter's right outside. They mock the girl bringing the news, saying to her, maybe it's his ghost. If angels are only sent if people believe enough, well, Peter wouldn't have been rescued. What determines if angels are sent is not what's going on in your heart, but what's going on in God's. And we know what is going on in God's heart by looking to Jesus. He who sees him sees the Father, says Jesus. The image of the glory of God is found in the face of Jesus, says Paul. And all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Jesus, also says Paul. So, look at the nail holes in Jesus' hands. Look at his pierced feet. Look into his wounded side. Do you find anything there but love, forgiveness, compassion, and help? Do you think the one who would not call for the angels to rescue himself in order to save you will now hesitate to call for angels if your salvation is at stake? The law always says angels aren't for you. The law sends a person to the hell of evil angels until that person dies, quits defending his sins, quits making excuses, quits promising to do better. The gospel always says angels are for you. The gospel raises the dead, acquits the guilty who have no excuses, saves those who plead for mercy, not make promises, and promises angels are for you. So use them. Hebrews 1:14 says, angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. That's you. In baptism, God gave you the spirit of his son, making you an heir. That's what Romans 8 says. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, goes St. Paul, since we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Though an heir to an earthly kingdom is but a child, the servants serve him as they do the king. Okay, but where are these angelic servants to be found? They are found wherever Jesus is. Apart from Jesus, angels are fallen. Apart from Jesus, angels are devils. And they aren't for you. Paul warns us that even Satan himself can appear as an angel of light. So we don't want to deal with angels apart from Jesus. And we don't have to, because we know right where Jesus promises to be. Jesus is in baptism. You're not just baptized into Jesus. Galatians 3 says that baptism clothes you with Jesus. Jesus is in his forgiving word. Whoever hears me absolve them, hears Jesus speaking to them. And of course, Jesus is in communion. It is his body and his blood given and shed for sinners. Gathered around the communion altar with us, therefore, is not only all the company of heaven, but angels and archangels. Angels are for you wherever Jesus is. You will find holy angels as close as the waters of holy baptism on your skin. They are in your ears through holy absolution. And they go wherever Jesus goes. So when you come away from the Holy Communion with the body and blood of Jesus in you, you go away with his angels too. Does that mean you go away invincible? No. It means you go away with angels for you. Everything they do or don't do is so they can perform the last sacred duty Scripture says angels do for you. They carry your soul to heaven. Each morning and night, our catechism teaches us to pray, let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. We don't say that petition to remind our Heavenly Father to do something. He indeed sends angels without our prayer. We pray it so we might never forget that angels are for us. Amen. Now, the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We